Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Welcome to Ask, Seek, and Knock with our Shabbat teaching by Jackie Smith.
Now the world appears to be moving along. For what is right is made to seem wrong in the delusion. In the delusion. Many will be led astray. They will have lost their way in the delusion. In the delusion. Lost our way in the darkness of time. It's just another way. Oh, another day. In the delusion. For Yeshua said, when these last days, no ways, everlasting life in the kingdom for those who turn away from the delusion. The world as we know it has been set.
Shabbat Shalom, folks. Welcome to Shabbat Study. We air this study every Saturday, Shabbat at noon. If you wish to join us in chat during the study, simply go to KMSR1700AM.com and click on the Shabbat Study page link in the menu. You will see the chat box there. The live radio link is also there as well for those wishing to join us in fellowship today. You can click on the Skype Fellowship link at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time and fellowship with us. Shabbat Shalom, and hope to see you there. Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters, in Messiah, Yeshua, and Yahovah our Elohim. I'm so glad that you're here today. Today's study is titled, They Shall Not Bear Sound Teaching. But first, let's open in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Yahovah, Elohim, and Yeshua Messiah, Father, you are King of Kings and Maker of all things, and Yeshua, you are our precious Messiah. No one gets to the Father except through the Messiah. We praise you, Heavenly Father, and your grace and mercy abound for those that keep your will. Please, if it be your desire, Heavenly Father, would you give this assembly and the teacher wisdom this day? Help us to understand your word, Heavenly Father. I would like to lift up at this time Sister Darla's father, Heavenly Father, and ask, if it be your desire, please help him to recover, Yahovah, Elohim, and Yeshua Messiah. We also lift up Sister Darla in hopes that her back pain subsides. Please heal her back, Heavenly Father, if it be your desire. Also, Heavenly Father, Yahovah, in the name of Yeshua Messiah, please help reduce the pain in Sister Mary Jo's knees. We hope that would be your will and your desire. We also lift up Sister Anna and her family, Heavenly Father, Yahovah. Please be with them and give them understanding if it be your will. Yahovah and Yeshua Messiah, if there's anyone else that we missed, we know that you hear their cry and their prayer, and you know their needs even before the asking. We ask these things in the precious name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get into the topic. Today, the topic at hand is, again, they shall not bear sound teaching. Let's start with 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. That's 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. In the sight of Elohim and the Master Yeshua Messiah, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his reign. I earnestly charge you, proclaim the word, be urgent in season, out of season, convict, warn, appeal, with all patience and teaching. For there shall be a time when they shall not bear sound teaching, but according to their own desires, they shall heap up for themselves teachers tickling the ear. And they shall indeed turn their ears away from the truth, and to be turned aside to myths. But you, be sober in all matters, suffer hardships, do the work of an evangelist, accomplish your service completely. Again, that's 2 Timothy 4. 1 through 5. When Yeshua comes to judge the living and the dead, how do you think this will pan out? The church today is teaching that the law is abolished, although that is nowhere found in the scriptures. What is found in the scriptures about how Yeshua, our Messiah, will judge the living and the dead? I thought you'd never ask. Let's turn to the answer in Matthew 13, 24 through 30. That's Matthew 13, 24 through 30. He put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared as a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servant of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servant said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let's let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn.'" Again, that's Matthew 13:24-30. It should be obvious to the reader that the harvest is when Yeshua comes to judge the living and the dead, and the weeds, which are gathered and burned, are equated to those that will not make it into the kingdom of Yahovah, and that the wheat that is brought into the barn are those that are good and faithful servants which get to enter the kingdom of Yahovah. The only way any of this can make sense whatsoever would be that the Torah is not at all done away with. In fact, Yeshua tells us himself that the Torah will not pass away until the very end. And that does not happen until the end of the book, which would be in Revelation 21, verse 1, which says, "And I saw a renewed heaven and a renewed earth, for the former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." Has any of this happened yet? I don't think so. So let's go to where Yeshua tells us the Torah will not pass away until all be done. Let's go to Matthew 5:18-20. That's Matthew 5:18-20. "For truly I say to you, till the heaven and the earth pass away, not one yod or one tittle shall by no means pass from the Torah till all be done. Whoever, then, breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches men so shall be called least in the reins of the heavens. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the reins of the heavens. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall by no means enter into the reins of the heavens." Again, that's Matthew 5:18-20. Remember, these are the red letter words of our Messiah. He tells us directly that the Torah is not abolished. And furthermore, he tells us that those who relax even the least of the Torah will be considered least by those in the reins of the heavens, and that they will not make it into the kingdom of Yahovah, unlike what the church is preaching today. How is it possible that the pastors and the evangelists of today have gotten away with this big fat lie all these years? The answer is simple. We were all led astray by the devil. Every single one of us. Revelation 12, verse 9. That's Revelation 12, verse 9. "And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." Again, that's Revelation 12, 9. I ask, does that verse say only a few in Africa or maybe a few in China? No, it doesn't. It tells us the entire world has been deceived. You and me and your brothers and your sisters, all of us have been deceived. Okay, if you're still listening and I still have your attention, then we need to go back to 2 Timothy 4:3-4 again. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 4:3-4. "For there shall be a time when they shall not bear sound teaching, but according to their own desires, they heap up for themselves teachers tickling the ear, and they shall indeed turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to myths." I'm curious, do these two verses sound familiar? Is this what's happening today in the Sunday church? I submit to you that it is, word for word, in fact. I can't tell you how many people my wife and I have witnessed to only see them come one time and then poof, they're gone. This is all because lawlessness is abounding on the earth today. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 13. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 13. As to the coming of our Master Yeshua Messiah, and our gathering together to Him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as if the day of Yahovah has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, because the falling away is to come first, and the man of lawlessness is to be revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worshiped, so that he sits as Elohim in the dwelling place of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim. Do you not remember that I told you this while I was still with you? And now you know what restrains for him to be revealed in his time. For the secret of lawlessness is already at work, only until he who now restrains comes out of the midst, and then the lawless one shall be revealed, whom the Master shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and bring to naught with the manifestation of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood, and with all deceit of unrighteousness in those perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. And for this reason, Elohim sends them a working of delusion for them to believe the falsehood, in order that all should be judged who did not believe the truth, but have delighted in the unrighteousness. But we ought to give thanks to Elohim always for you, brothers, beloved by the Master, because Elohim from the beginning chose you to be saved in set apartness of spirit and in belief in the truth. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 13. Who was chosen from the beginning to be saved in set apartness of spirit and belief in the truth? And who is under a strong delusion? Two very important questions that will be answered here. The church today has told us that we, the keepers of Torah, are the ones under a strong delusion because we are law keepers. They equate us with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, saying we are keeping the law like the Pharisees did. Is that the case, really? To this I say, as I have said before, the devil will never deceive anyone into righteousness. The devil will deceive people into lawlessness. And just for the record, what is lawlessness? 1 John 3, verse 4. That's 1 John 3, verse 4. Everyone doing sin also does lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. If the church is telling all of us that the law, the Torah, is done away with, then the church is promoting lawlessness, sin, period. To this I also say, Yahovah will deliver each of us to our passions. If your passion is righteousness, then you will be delivered unto righteousness. If your passion is sin, you will be delivered into lawlessness, which, as we saw earlier, is sin. Romans 1:18 through 32 gives us even more insight on this matter. That's Romans 1:18 through 32. For the wrath of Elohim is revealed from heaven against all wickedness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known of Elohim is manifest among them. For Elohim has manifested it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible qualities have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, both his everlasting power and mightiness, for them to be without excuse, But although they knew Elohim, they did not esteem him as Elohim, nor gave thanks, and became vain in their reasonings, and their undiscerning heart was darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and changed the esteem of the incorruptible Elohim into the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed beasts, and of reptiles. Therefore Elohim gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts, to disrespect their bodies among themselves, who changed the truth of Elohim into falsehood, and worshipped and served what was created rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Because of this, Elohim gave them over to degrading passions, for even their women exchanged natural affection relations for what is against nature, and likewise the men also, having left natural affections with women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing indecency and receiving back the reward which was due for their straying. And even as they did not think it worthwhile to possess the knowledge of Elohim, Elohim gave them over to a worthless mind, to do what is improper, having been filled with all unrighteousness, whoring, wickedness, greed, evil, filled with envy, murder, fightings, deceit, evil habits, whisperers, slanderers, haters of Elohim, insolent, proud boasters, devisers of evil, disobedient to parents, without discernment, covenant breakers, unloving, unforgiving, ruthless, who, though they know the righteousness of Elohim, that those who practice such deserve death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Again, that's Romans 1:18-32. Those of us that have come out of Babylon have repented from our crooked ways. What does Yahovah say about those that repent? Let's take a look at 2 Chronicles 33:1-13. That's 2 Chronicles 33:1-13. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But he did evil in the eyes of Yahovah, according to the abominations of the nations whom Yahovah dispossessed from before the children of Israel. For again he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and raised up slaughter places for the Baals, and made Asherim, and bowed himself to all the hosts of the heavens, and served them. And he built slaughter places in the house of Yahovah, of which Yahovah had said in Jerusalem, Jerusalem is my name forever. And he built slaughter places for all the hosts of the heavens in the two courtyards of the house of Yahovah. And he made his sons pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and practiced magic, and used divination and witchcraft, and consulted mediums and spirits. He did much evil in the eyes of Yahovah to provoke him, and he placed a carved image of the idol which he had made in the house of Elohim, of which Yahovah had said to David and Shlomo, who we know as Solomon, his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I put my name forever. And no more shall I remove the foot of Israel from the soil which I have appointed for your fathers, only if they guard to do all that I have commanded them, according to the Torah and the laws and the right rulings, by the hand of Moshe. Thus Manasseh led Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem astray to do more evil than the nations whom Yahovah had destroyed before the children of Israel. And Yahovah spoke to Manasseh and to his people, and they did not listen. Therefore, Yehovah brought upon them the commanders of the army of the sovereign of Ashur, and captured Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze shackles, and made him go to Babel. And when he was in distress, he sought the face of Yehovah his Elohim, and humbled himself greatly before the Elohim of his fathers, and prayed to him, and he was moved, Yehovah that is, was moved by his entreaty, and heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem into his reign. And Manasseh knew that Yehovah was Elohim. Again, that's 2 Chronicles 33:1-3. So here's this guy, Manasseh, whose father is Hezekiah, okay? And you know, Hezekiah took out all those high places. How many people have done that? So he took out all these high places. He removed all the bad stuff that was going on. And what does his son do? He puts it all back. And he even makes his own children walk through the fire. You know, kills them for Baal. This is ridiculous what was going on. So this guy went berserk. He just went crazy. And Yehovah had had enough. And Yehovah, by hook, grabbed this guy and threw him into bondage. And then what happens? Manasseh repents. His heart softens and he truly repents. Yehovah gave him that opportunity to repent also. Now keep in mind, this is not the only sovereign that has had favor in the eyes of Yehovah. Look at King David, okay, what he had done. Yehovah sent a prophet to him saying, okay, this is what's going to happen. You're going to lose everything. But then what does David do? He falls on his face. He repents. And Yehovah didn't do those things that he said he would do. And so he restores Manasseh to his place in Jerusalem. Can you imagine that? That's what happened. Repentance really does matter. Yehovah truly does forgive those who truly repent and pick up their scriptures and study to be approved and become doers of the word, the Torah, not just hearers of the word. Let's look at James 1:22-25. That's James 1:22-25. And become doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, and he looks at himself and goes away and immediately forgets what he was like. But he that looked into the perfect Torah, that of freedom, and continues in it, not becoming a hearer that forgets, but a doer of works, this one shall be blessed in his doing of the Torah. That's James 1:22-25. I ask, what is the doer of the word? Like last week and the week before that, let's look up the word word in James 1:22. Word is Greek 3:056. It is the word logos, which means something said or utterance or written word of Elohim. So James 1:22 is talking about becoming a doer of the Torah, not just a hearer of the Torah. So the question begs, what is the Torah? Well, for those of you that do not know, the Torah is the first five books of the Bible or the scriptures. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I have come to a conclusion in my thinking about the Torah that you may find interesting. If I am not keeping the Torah, the laws, the statutes, the appointed times, the feast days of our Elohim, then I am not practicing sound doctrine, and I am living a lawless lifestyle and not eligible for the kingdom of Yehovah. Like I have said before, in almost every study, we're going to turn to Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. Again, that's Ecclesiastes 12:13-14, which tells us this. Let us hear the conclusion of the entire matter. Fear Elohim and guard his commands, for this applies to all mankind. For Elohim shall bring every work into right ruling, including all that is hidden, whether it be good or evil. Are you still here with me? I hope so. Our whole purpose in life is to keep His commands. That's what's being said here. And I must say, they are truly a pleasure to keep, and definitely not a burden. I would like to also mention the fact that those that say they know Him, yet do not keep the commands of our Elohim, are indeed fooling themselves and are liars. This is not what I say, it is what John tells us in 1 John 2, 4 through 7. That's 1 John 2, 4 through 7. The one who says, I know Him and does not guard His commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever guards His word, truly the love of Elohim, has been perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he stays in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. Beloved, I write no fresh command to you, but an old command, which you have heard from the beginning. The old command is the word which you heard from the beginning. So keep in mind, this is the New Testament proclaiming that we are to guard Yahovah's old commands from the beginning. John is making this clear for all to read in 1 John 2, 4 through 7. How is it that we read this in the past, but it never registered? Well, we talked about this earlier. We were all deceived and under a strong delusion. We were not able to understand the things we read because we were not testing the things that came from the pulpit. We just blindly followed and trusted the preacher. Also, let's continue in 1 John 5, 2, and 3. That's 1 John 5, 2, and 3, which tells us this. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim, when we love Elohim and guard His commands. For this is the love for Elohim, that we guard His commands. And His commands are not heavy. They're not a burden. Did you just hear that? 1 John proclaims that it is not a burden to keep the commands of Yahovah. Don't take my word for it. Really, don't. Test every scripture that I have used this day to guide you on a righteous path to our Redeemer, Yeshua, Messiah. Let's go to 1 John 4, 1 through 3. That's 1 John 4, 1 through 3. Beloved ones, do not believe every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of Elohim, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you know the spirit of Elohim. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, Messiah, has come in the flesh is of Elohim. And every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua, Messiah, has come in the flesh is not of Elohim. And this is the spirit of the anti-Messiah, which you heard is coming and now is already in the world. 1 John 4, 1 through 3. And finally, let's go to Matthew 7, 7 and 8, which tells us this. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened. Well, for now, that's all I have. We pray this teaching has been a blessing to you, and you can study and reflect on it during the week. Until we meet again. Shabbat shalom, everyone, and have a blessed day. And we hope to see you in fellowship today at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So may Yah bless you and keep you. Shabbat shalom.
Hey folks, don't forget, today at 2:30 Eastern Standard Time, we have a Shabbat Fellowship, and we'd love for you to join us. All you have to do is go to kmsr1700am.com and click on the Shabbat Study page. There'll be a Skype fellowship link at the top of the page above the radio button. That's all you got to do. So we look forward to seeing you today for Shabbat fellowship at 2:30 Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget, coming up this Monday night, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we're going to have another teaching on Ask,
Seek,
and Knock.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone.